appreciate the intro there, and I have to say that I haven't heard anyone say I'm finally out of school since my dad said it about 12 years ago. Certainly thrilled to be a part of the forum here today to be able to represent the equipment solution provider view of technology and the digitalization of agriculture. But I also feel compelled to also say that as someone who was raised on a moderate corn and soybean farm in Ohio in the U.S., it's also an honor to be here to speak to such a diverse group of corn and soybean producers, experts, and industry stakeholders. So today, my time with you is going to be focused really primarily on the notion of data-enabled agriculture. And the view, as we see it from John Deere, the view of how data and the use of data to make and enhance the execution of producing a crop in the field and to enhance or optimize the decisions, the agronomic decisions that are made every day as producers strive to profitably produce a crop. So a focus on data. And notice I didn't just say big data, because I'm going to talk about how data plays a role in various elements and various forms and fashions in production agriculture. But certainly big data and analytics are a piece of that. So to get started, maybe to not rehash a lot of the discussion I think we've already had around the mega trends around food, and I go back to Lowell Catlett's presentation. I'm not going to try to imitate his voice and the way he so passionately described how great it is to be in agriculture. I think one of his lines was you know, more money, more food, better food. And we've talked a lot about that. I think Liam's discussion this morning also highlighted that. But maybe I will call attention to the second point on the screen. The producers that stood up this morning, and when Julie asked all the farmers in the room to rise, their expectations, you know, those managers, the questions that they're asking of their partners, of their industry collaborators, the expectations they have and that they need to be met, the needs that they need to be met in order to produce the crop and meet that global food demand are increasing. And I'm sure those of us that have been here the last few days have had a chance to interact with these producers and really get a sense and appreciation for the types of questions that today's producers, today's farmers are asking with regard to how to more profitably grow the crop. The third mega trend here, though, that I want to highlight, and it really leads into then the technology discussion, it's really around the acceleration of technology development. Maybe before I get into this, I just want to reference for those of you that are interested in outside reading, learning more about technology development. I'll reference a book here, and a futurist, not Lowell Catlett, but another futurist that now works for Google, Ray Kurzweil. I don't know how many, if any of you are familiar with Ray Kurzweil. The book that comes to mind that Ray wrote is "The Singularity Is Near," or you can Google a TED talk that he did about 9 years ago. But the key part of his view of technology, and it's supported by data, and that's what I like about his view of technology adoption or technology growth, acceleration, is that it's growing exponentially. It's the advancements are happening exponentially. And yet we as humans, we tend to think in terms of linear growth. I mean, our minds think linearly. It's hard for us to understand compounding interest, for example, until you see it on a plot. And so if you just think about, if you pull out your iPhone, your Android phone, and you go back 5 years, and you think about what that phone was 5 years ago, and now if you think 5 years ahead, and you just imagine what it might be, guess what? It's significant if you think 5 years ahead and you extrapolate, but that's a linear thought, right? Imagine the exponential growth that's likely to happen in technology advancement over those next 5 years. And that's what the third bullet here calls out, is that in agriculture, we're able to benefit from, and in some cases drive or lead, these types of technology advancements that are going to enhance productivity in a profitable way. And so some of those technology advancements include things like sensors and controls. So A modern piece of agricultural equipment today is equipped with many, many sensors, some of which are critical just to the daily operation or the minute-by-minute operation of that machine, whether it's transmission, engine, you know, monitoring, those types of things. But increasingly what we're seeing is the addition of sensors and controls on equipment that relate to productivity. So today's corn planter, for example, not only does it measure the seed population for the entire pass, or all 24 or 36 or 48 rows, but it also has sensors on each row that measures the row bounce, the row unit bounce, so that then the operator gets immediate feedback. Am I driving too fast? Am I driving too slow? Am I getting good ground contact with the row unit? And so it's the advancement of those types of sensors that have a more link, a direct link to the farmer's job, the desired outcome that he or she has in mind in order to achieve a successful crop. Wireless connectivity is another key technology advancement here that we're able to leverage in agriculture. You know, connectivity is everywhere. You know, the Frank referenced earlier being wired, and he caught himself because really it's about not being wired anymore. It's about being wireless. And you may or may not know that starting in 2011, we made a commitment to ensure and move towards that most of our large ag pieces of equipment, our large ag machines, the big tractors, sprayers, combines, now ship wirelessly connected. So they had 2G and now have 3G and have these modems built into them, again, to connect them so that the owner, the operator, the farmer can leverage the information, connect that information to his or her trusted network of advisors to help make better decisions. And then finally, the last two key drivers here in technology kind of come together. Mobile computing, we're increasingly leveraging consumer devices in production agriculture. So not just the fact that farmers now all carry smartphones, all carry tablets, but increasingly, we're leveraging in the industry, in the OEM industry, we're leveraging consumer devices, tablets and smartphones, in the cab of the machine. Well, why would we put a tablet in the cab of a machine, a corn planter, for example? Well, a couple reasons. One is because the user interface of that tablet is very intuitive and very easy, and one that the operator, you know, the next generation, that's operator, the folks that many of you have on your farm, they're already used to that as user interface. So we're able to leverage consumer devices in a way that that makes technology adoption easier. So again, for those of you that are farmers, you look at this graphic and you say, yep, I'm the person in the center, and I feel like this on a given day. I've got so many inputs and so many questions and so many decisions that as a farmer, as a producer, as a manager, as a farm operator that I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And you can see we've got some logos and some examples, just as a more of the figurative examples of the types of engagements that the farmer in the middle might have. So starting on the left, input decisions, you know, seed, pesticides, chemicals, fertilizers. What do I buy? When do I buy them? How do I apply them? And then working your way around the agronomy, around scouting. At the top, we reference kind of the equipment piece, which obviously is very close to our part of the business. You know, what machines do I need in my fleet? When should I upgrade? What technology do I need? Do I have enough? Do I have too many? The role that Deere and the John Deere dealer has in that decision. You've got a lot of decisions around commodities and markets. I'm certain that every one of our producers in here today have already checked the markets, understand what's happening in their commodities, and are weighing those decisions on their mind. And as you work all on around the cycle, you can see and you get a sense for this. So the goal with technology and with data-enabled agriculture is to simplify this. Now, this complexity doesn't go away, but through data, through connectivity, through intuitive experiences, we can begin to bring these inputs, these questions, bring these together in a forum, in a fashion, in a way that truly are simplifying and enabling to make better decisions. We've seen over time, over the last couple decades, this precision agriculture has really come to the forefront, starting probably in the early 90s, I think most of us would agree was the beginning, and then starting really successfully, I would say, and commercially, and from a producer standpoint, true value is starting to be realized in the 2000s, the early 2000s, with guidance systems. It was mentioned earlier, the fact that you can push a, you sit in the tractor cab or the combine or the sprayer, you push a button, and literally that tractor will drive itself in a perfectly straight line to accuracy within a couple centimeters. So auto guidance very quickly delivered value by reducing overlap, by enabling new production practices that required more precision guidance and application. Think about banding fertilizer, placing seed next to that fertilizer band, enabling operators to be more comfortable, more fresh, more energized in the cab, and able to be ultimately more productive. The second wave then beyond guidance systems is really the era we've been in around precision agriculture, site-specific management, using data to make management zones and decisions, variable rate decisions. And I think we'll continue to see that evolve, particularly emboldened by or leveraging the newest wave, that top green bar, the horizontal there, which really focuses on the connectivity that we've already talked about and the fact that by wirelessly connecting, sharing data, accessing seamless data, transferring data seamlessly to decision makers, starting at the producer level, but then broadening that network of decision makers so that the right information is in the right hands at the right time. The way we think about creating value in data-enabled agriculture, we try to put ourselves and look through the lens of a farmer, of a producer. And so as you look on the left, you see land prep. Basically, we call these our production system steps, but the steps that producers go through almost universally and globally, regardless of the crop, go through a general series of steps to produce the crop, preparing the land, seeding, spraying and fertilizing, nurturing, caring for the crop, and then harvesting. So those horizontals represent those steps that requires to produce nearly any crop. And then the value that we're talking about creating through data then comes through the verticals. And we at Deere, this is just to give you a Deere view of how we're investing and how we think about data-enabled agriculture value, comes through these three pillars or value verticals. First is machine optimization. Probably the most obvious to you is the fact that data, better data, provided to John Deere engineers will help John Deere engineers build a better machine. So if we understand how machines are being used, we're going to be able to design the next machine more effectively. We're going to be able to monitor that fleet and allow the dealer to monitor the fleet if the customer so chooses, in order to enable and anticipate problems that potentially could exist before they actually materialize. So that's machine optimization. The middle one is the one where, quite honestly, where the industry has an opportunity to collaborate, and we call that around the job or job optimization. So if you think in terms of machines going through the field, tilling, seeding, spraying, fertilizing, harvesting, those machines are going through the field not just for recreation, right? They have a job to do. Put the seed precisely in the ground. Apply a pesticide at the right rate, at the right contact, at the right coverage, at the right time. And so the Deere role in this job optimization is to make sure that the job gets executed. But we don't do that alone because, for example, from the Bayer view, Bayer and retailers have the expertise to know precisely what rate should be applied and when should it be applied and what product should be used. And so it's that collaboration that we see the opportunity to increasingly leverage between the equipment and the execution of the job by the equipment, but also the expertise that comes from the agronomic and knowledge holders as well. And then finally, agronomic optimization starts to blend into the job, but agronomic optimization is really about if a decision maker, whether it's the farmer, his or her agronomist, the retailer, that network of advisors, having the right data at the right time in the right place, it's about optimizing that agronomic decision. This is our view. Frank talked about platforms, Instagram, Facebook. You're seeing an emergence of industry data platforms in agriculture. And so this is our view of how those platforms, and you can almost apply this somewhat generically, this view of data platforms in ag. In the middle, you've got a cloud, right? And in our case, we've got My John Deere as our cloud. And My John Deere acts as the conduit between the left side and the right side. So the left side is all of the infield. So machines collecting data, machines executing prescriptions, doing work in the field. On the right side, you've got the network of trusted advisors and decision makers. You've got the producer up at the top. You've got the input providers, you know, the folks that really have the innate, the basic knowledge of how these applications should be made, how decisions should be made. You've got retailers, ag service providers, software companies. And so what we aspire to do and what we're trying to do in the industry is to make sure that we create a network. We create an ecosystem around the data and the data platform. And the locks, the padlocks there, are just to represent a foundational, a core belief at Deere, which is the farmer at the top of this view, at the top of this diagram, is in control, and he or she decides who and how and when those padlocks come open and with whom the data is shared. So the padlock is, again, to represent security and control that the producer ultimately holds. I just want to spend a minute and build upon this notion of the ecosystem on the prior view and just call out that we're working aggressively to engage the industry. And so what you see on the right side of this slide is, if you were to go to your website right now, although you wouldn't do that because you're engaged in the presentation, but at the next break, if you were to go to developer.deere.com, what you're going to find is a very easy to use, intuitive experience or interface where we're engaging with software developers to come be part of the John Deere ecosystem, plug into and leverage our data from our ecosystem into your systems and your software. And so, may or may not surprise you to learn that we've got now over 100 developer partners as part of this ecosystem, folks that have plugged in to developer.deere.com and are then accessing the data from myjohndeere.com through an API structure. And then finally, maybe just to make it a bit more tangible, Frank referenced the Intelligent Solutions Group, which I represent. The type of work that we do is just represented on this slide. This just gives you a sense of how Deere views technology, the types of investments that we're making, and the types of solutions. This is just a range from we're focused beginning in the cab and how the operator station, as we call it, looks and feels and behaves and interacts with the human, with the operator, displays, applications like auto guidance, auto track that we've talked about. We actually design and manufacture GPS receivers. And then on the bottom, some of the types of applications that we offer into the marketplace. So to summarize, we certainly see and are excited about the opportunity in agriculture, particularly the opportunity around information or data-enabled agriculture. And we see the opportunities for us is to make sure that we offer the best equipment. Right, we want to offer industry-leading equipment with regard to how jobs get executed in the field, couple those with technology, and then bolster those with support from our dealer network.